gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kelton Solutions Q2 and FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter of the financial year 2023. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on the management's beliefs as well as assumptions made from information currently available to the management. The audience is cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and a financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management team participating with us in the earnings call today. We have with us Mr. Niranjan Chintam, Chairman and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Karanjit Singh, Chief Executive Officer, India, and Mr. Srinivas Puthuluri, Chief Executive Officer, US. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Niranjan Chintam. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rochelle. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our Q2 earnings call. I want to start off with financial highlights. During the last quarter, which is the Q2 FY23, our revenues were around 228 crores, which is about 9.1% increase year-on-year, with the EBITDA of 26 crores and a net profit of 16 crores. So the EBITDA margin, it was a slightly dip, which is 11.4% and the PAT of 7.4%. The earnings per share for this quarter has come down to 1.81 rupee, which is an increase over last quarter. Coming to the six-month numbers, the revenue is around 445 crores, which is about 7.5% year-on-year increase. EBITDA of about 51 crores, net profit of 33 crores. The EBITDA margins is around 11.6% and the PAT margin of 7.4%. The earnings per share was around 3.6% for the 6 months for this financial year. Looking at some of the operational highlights, last quarter we added around 10 new customers, and the last quarter we also were selected by the Outlook magazine as the top 10 software development companies in India. We have started our brand refresh into the One Kelton initiative that we've been talking about during the last 6 to 7 months. So right now our website has migrated from KeltonTech.com to Kelton.com, and there is a relook by an external agency on how to refresh our brand, how to get more brand recognition. So the agency based out of New York is looking at it and also has come up with some preliminary analysis that, you know, we will be looking at to improve over the next few quarters. We have also participated in a few of SAP events. So these are some of the highlights that we have from an operational side for the last quarter. Karanjit, can you talk about the customer wins we had in the last quarter?
Sure. Thanks, Niranjan. Sure. So, yeah, as Niranjan said, we've had 10 new customers, and this has been a very interesting mix of customers. A lot of our customers this quarter have been on the newer technologies, which is Web3, NFT, marketplaces and data engineering, some of them in the renewable energy and carbon credits space and e-learning platforms. So this is kind of very interesting. I will just give a highlight about a couple of them for you to get a sense. So we are helping one of the next generation technology to build a next generation technology ecosystem for a US-based financial technology company. They are trying to build a platform that will enable them to make NFT purchases by acquiring loans. If you remember in the past, we have done a lot of work in Web3 and built NFT platforms, but this is interesting that they're building a platform where they can actually, they're enabling NFT purchases by acquiring loans using a buy now, pay later kind of a paradigm. Similarly, we have another Web3 marketplace that we are we have been chosen for by a US-based company that encourages selling through live streaming. So we are building this platform where the sellers and retailers, they can show their products, how they look and work to their potential customers. So these are some of those things where, you know, the Web3 is really coming alive. Similarly, we are working with a US-based renewable energy consulting, which is again trying to build a smart CRM and a next-generation platform, which is basically a self-service marketplace that will help their customers purchase carbon and energy credits, so carbon and energy trading, right, and kind of help them offset their footprints. Again, we have had, we are also working with a Middle East company where we are kind of helping with our data engineering expertise. This is another area that's seeing a lot of traction, where we'll help them basically come up with a robust decision support system, you know, by looking at their, you know, by looking through their data. We're also helping, we've had some work in the healthcare space, where we are working with a San Francisco-based company, which will have a single window system for their patients, where they can access all their, you know, records like EHR, lab, emergency rooms, and hospital records anytime. And of course, this complies with HIPAA and PII standards. So this is again a, it's not a standard way of looking at stuff. This is more like the new age platform for having their customers look up things at one place and not go all over. We're also helping a non-profit agency to ensure that refugee children education, you know, to have access for refugee children to education through an e-learning platform. So these are some of the things. I don't want to belabor and go over all the others, but these are some of the some very interesting kind of companies and the work that we've engaged in to help really build the new age digital things, especially on Web3. Thank you.
Thank you, Karanjit. Srini, you know, I know there's a lot of commentary around the economy in the U.S. Being bad or a global recession happening. Can you just give some color as to what's happening in the U.S., Srini?
Yeah, sure. Niranjan, thanks for the opportunity to speak. Like you said, there are three indicators, right, whether it be inflation, whether it be recession, unemployment, et cetera. A lot of speculation going on around all three of those and are we in recession or not. But if we look at the inflation rate, it's been consistently coming down from June of this year, right, from 9.1 in June to about 7.7 in October of 2022. Whereas in the earlier part of the year, it went up from about 7 to 9.1. So obviously, supply chains have rationalized, coming up to speed. The Fed is raising the for a larger part of this year. They've been increasing the interest rate. It's expected that they will increase them through the early 2023, right? So they're trying to control the inflation, and it's seen in the numbers. So they're obviously not trying to trigger a recession, but only wanting to slow down the economy. And if you look at the unemployment rate, it's been solidly below 4 for the entire year. It's about 3.84 to 3.7 in October. Obviously, we saw a lot of high-tech releasing their engineers, about maybe 120K over the last 1 month or so. And this is not attributed to either a recessionary economy or anything, but more with respect to oversubscribing to the workforce during the pandemic, looking at the growth that they were seeing. Right now, we are not seeing, or any of our customers not seeing, and so on. And they're continuing to show that they will grow. They're planning for the growth. They have moved some of them to the right from the last quarter of 2022 to the first quarter of 2023, rightfully so, from a budgeting perspective and so on. So overall, we see from our customers' perspective that they're planning for growth. We expect the growth to be there in 2023, as well as in this last quarter of 2022. Of course, the Christmas, Thanksgiving, and all of these holidays, et cetera, will have a small impact. But that's not the economy, but it's more the seasonal change that we're going to see. So in short, I mean, I think it's not as bleak as everybody is making it sound. Indicators from our customers, indicators on any of the inflation or the recession and unemployment are showing that this is not going to be a recession. This will probably be a slower growth, but growth, definitely a growth.
So with that, we want to open up for questions. Rochelle, can you start queuing up for questions, please?
Sure, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question at this time may enter star then one on their touchtone telephone. To withdraw yourself from the question queue, please enter star then two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please enter star one now. Our first question is from the line of Niranjan Chheda, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Niranjan and team. Thank you very much for taking us through the numbers. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good evening. Yes, Niranjan, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I have a list of questions for you, sir, and your team. And you can add more colors based on what you have seen in the what's happening in the industry, plus where our company is heading, and where we see in coming quarters and coming years. So I'll go one by one quickly. So the first question is, based on where it's operating, and if you see if the industry is like its competitors, they're having an operating margin of 25% to 30% range. So you can name any of this mid-size or the big company. I just wanted to know what's there, why the Keltron is having 12% operating margin, where we clearly see that there's a trend going on in the industry having an operating margin of 25%. Do you think that it's an opportunity for us to at least aim for close to 18% to 20%? Because it is far, far lower than the industry standards. That's number one, and if yes, then by when you think we can achieve it? So shall I go one question at a time?
Yeah, one question. Let me answer that so that it becomes easier, right, to do an interaction there, right, versus having a list of questions and then the all at once and it becomes a problem, okay? So let me answer that. The first thing is, you know, we have noticed that this was a discussion that we had for last few years on how to improve the operating margin. One of the things or the efforts towards One Keltron was that, I'm not sure if you are aware of the One Keltron thing, where at one point, so that is one of the initiatives that we launched to get larger synergies within the organization itself, right? While we are still in that journey of getting that One Keltron going, we have made significant improvements within the last 6 to 9 months of this calendar year. There were a number of meetings that happened all over the world to do this reconciliation, if you want to call it, or, you know, look at redundancies, how do we get economies of scale going while we were operating in silos. That exercise is almost complete, so we should start noticing to see increase in margins, operating margins, you know, starting next year. I'm talking about the fiscal year, right? We are going to see some increase. But while we're doing this exercise, you know, this year was a bad, a benchmark, if you want to call it, because of the increased labor costs. You know, there is about close to between 2 and 3% drop in the margins because of the increased labor costs. While you can always say that, you know, dollar has appreciated, but that's not fully baked in yet. Okay. At the same time, in our increase in labor cost is outpaced even any dollar appreciation that we have seen in the last probably 1 year. The second thing is, we have a significant presence in the U.S. because we are on the cutting edge kind of industry. About close to 300 of our employees are in the U.S. and about 100 are in Europe, where the cost factor are higher, so the margins are lower. So just to give you a different numbers, while we do margins in the U.S., if we are servicing from the U.S., it's 30%, whereas if we bring that same work we do it in India, the margins are over 50%. I'm talking about gross margins there, right? So the next question, obvious question is, can we migrate them over? We are on that work of migrating, but we need to build up the scale. So we don't have the scale yet to get to that level. Okay, this year, we have scaled up by about 300 employees. Once we publish our employee numbers, you'll see that we went from a little over 1,500 to 1,800 plus employees is what we have today. Okay, and that is growing. So the base in India is increasing. The increase in employee from a significancy is higher in India. We're talking about 80-20. 80% of the growth in employee base is coming from India and 20% in U.S. As this goes up, this trend goes on, we will see a lot more margin improvement when it comes to the operating margins. To start off with gross margin and then comes to operating margin.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So I was about to ask you about the employee mix. I think you have already answered that. I'll go to the next question now. Our balance sheet says that we have close to 100 crores of borrowing. And for that, to operate that or to finance that, we are paying close to 12 crores of interest every year. So roughly, I will say it is in range of 11 to 12% of the total borrowing, what we hold. Now, again, this is exactly in line with our operating profit margin. So ideally, in a nutshell, this number says that this borrowing is actually not helping out because we are paying 12% interest to the banks or from wherever you have taken this borrowing. And again, say we are just generating the 12% operating margin. So in an, in a plain math point of view, this borrowing is actually not helping us. But on the other hand, this 12 crores interest what we are paying, this is exactly, if we add roughly more 4 crores, it's one quarter net profit. So I'm just trying to ask you whether do you have any plans to retire this debt? If yes, when? And if not, then seriously, I think we have to think about quickly how to increase the operating profit margin, because otherwise it's not adding any value to the numbers.
Yeah, fair question there, Rick. See, I think, I don't know if you know the history of our company, the way we grow and all this stuff. See, we have not raised any money from the market. It has been either self-funded or through debt, whatever growth that we have done so far. Yes, there's a lot of capital that is stuck in accounts receivables and related stuff. So the one way to do is we have to finance that. We have always been growing. Any money left, we've been either investing in the growth of the company or doing, some strategic acquisitions, right? So the answer is ideally I would want to have a zero debt, but my other option to get to zero debt is either, internal accruals to retire the debt. We do have a little bit of unpaid payable that is still there that we need to pay out and also fund the growth. There is some R&D investments we are making. All of this, cannot be done through internal accruals while we have large companies, right? I don't want to name names of the companies. The largest, the logistical company is a customer of ours. We have an accounts receivable timeline of 90 plus days. Okay, when we have that kind of a large company that is paying us in 90 plus days, right, somehow we have to service that. The work that we do and the invoice, that time it takes. So we have to use debt for that. We're not sitting on cash today. So that's one of the reasons why we do that. But I agree with you, right? Ideally, I would rather the 12 crores would have gone to the bottom line. So that is, like you said, right, if you divide by three crores would have added to every quarter. I'm not disagreeing on that. But unfortunately, right, the business that we are in, the way we grew, lack of, equity infusion from outside entities is what where we are today.
I'll go with the next question. Almost a year back.
One more question, and then can you go get back in the queue so that we get others also? Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
Okay, so, sir, I'll ask the last question and then I will be in queue again. So, the question is, 1 year back, you mentioned that the company is targeting close to $300 million revenues.
200.
Where do we see the traction coming here, sir, and by when?
Yeah, 200 million is what the target is. By 2025 is what we targeted. I think we're still marching towards that. And I think we, given where we are today, you know, we should be able to achieve that. Unless, like say, that there is a what we call, you know, there is a recession or something else happens, right? So then, you know, a force major, right? That's what I was looking at. Unless a force major happens somewhere, we should be able to achieve that.
All right. Yeah. I'll be in queue, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may enter star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Rajesh Munja, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajesh.
Mr. Munja, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question. We're unable to hear the participant, so we will move on to the next question, which is from the line of Shanawaz. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Mama Shanawaz, bringing it.
Hi, Shanawaz. Go ahead.
Yeah. And first of all, congratulations for adding 11 key customers in your queue. And I was part of your discussion during before presentation as well. And so I have certain questions. I will wait for the previous conference where you have said that in 1 or 2 quarters you are going to see a drastic change in the P&L statement and profitability. And second question that I have is from balance sheet. In balance sheet, I am noticing two things I have noticed. The one thing which I noticed is that you are mentioning other assets. It is 178 crore, right? And the receivable, you are mentioning 210 crores. Okay. But together, it is almost 400 crore. And your revenue for the 6 months itself is somewhere 400. So I want to understand 178 crore of other assets. What it actually comprised, whether it is really a receivable or is it a cash, a fixed deposit, I mean, what is that particular 178 crore? Because it is every quarter I'm seeing every, you know, whenever you are seeing the balance sheet, it is increasing. And the cash realization in your balance sheet is very less. Second question,
Can we answer this question and then we can go to the other
one? Yes.
So let me answer the first question related to where you asked about the growth in P&L, right? So, yes, I did say that, you know, the growth in P&L, we're going to start seeing it. Yes, you know, there is some improvement, not to the extent that, you know, we wanted to. We still are working on the One Kelsen initiative. While we are working on that, we are making investments like I just told you earlier, where there's a brand refresh going on. We are using external agencies for the brand refresh. Where you start seeing changes, probably not this year. I'm talking about calendar year. You'll start seeing brand refresh activity coming into play from January onwards. One of the things, like I said earlier, right, from a Kelsen Tech brand, we went to a Kelsen brand. That's a small change, but there are a lot of improvements that we are making so that, you know, there's a stickiness to the customer of the Kelsen brand. While in India, Kelsen is known very well, it is not known in U.S. and or Europe, right? Europe, for us, has not been that great of what we anticipated that when you talked about 6 months ago, right? We had huge hopes for Europe, but unfortunately because of Ukraine and associated inflation and the cost of living increases that have happened, people and companies have scaled back their investments. we have not grown to the extent that we wanted to grow. While the revenue has gone up, but in a single-digit numbers, so that's one of the setbacks that we have. Coming to the balance sheet items, right? You're right, money is stuck in accounts receivables and also accrued revenue. So when I say accrued revenue, this is the unbilled revenue. Typically what happens is we raise our bills around the 10th of the following month. So there's always 1 month worth of revenue that is going to be unbilled, plus any fixed price contracts, milestone billing, that we have not achieved that milestone billing. So effectively, right, that number is going to be, you know, like I said, 1 month, if you look at it, 227. So at least about 90 to 100 crores is going to be the accrued revenue. Okay, roughly. Not going without, you know, adding that, you know, milestone-based fixed price revenues. So that is where the money is stuck. So that is the cash stuck. That is why we use the debt to, you know, for some of our working capital needs. The earlier question that Niranjan was asking, right? That is where, you know, the need for that cash is.
Yeah, so you mean to say this 178 crore is, there is no write-off you are going to do. I mean, this is, you are going to achieve that.
Oh, yeah, there's zero write-off on that. No, it's like, there are in some cases, right?
In your cash flow statement, you have mentioned other assets, minus 44 crore in 2022 in March. So
okay.
I don't know what is that. Whether you have purchased some asset or it is a write-off you have done, I could not understand.
No, when cash flow statement happens, you know, it's comparative to the previous year or previous period, right? So the previous time you gave your balance sheet, if there is an increase, it becomes positive. If there is a decrease, right, it becomes negative. That is all it is. It is a pure, what you call accounting way of doing it. It is not a write-off. There was a decrease in that line item. That's why you're seeing that.
This financial year of March 22, you have generated hardly 1 crore rupees, operating cash. So that is why I'm saying. I mean, how
right
profit,
you're
so, going to in a P&L profit and statement, sir? Yeah.
Can we set up a call separately to walk you through the cash flow? Because I want to ask the question, because this is purely the way the cash flow statement is created. The way it works is, you know, from the previous period to this current period, any increase or decrease is what shows up there. If there is a decrease,
I'm just taking your point, sir. Just why I'm saying is, consistently, if you see it, I was looking, you have a profit of 80 crore, I mean, last 5-7 years, but the net cash, which in your balance sheet is hardly for 20, 25, 30 crores, but it's not more than that. So there is a difference. So that's why
Yes, you're right. So remember that we are paying term loans, we are paying earnouts, we are investing in assets for the company. So those are all the adjustments that happen in cash flow. So the money, it's not a write-off. It's just that where it is going or where, you know, increase or decrease from the previous time. That's why I said the way the cash flow should be read is different from you're talking from a pure cash in, cash out. That is not what this is. This cash flow is adjustments to the previous period to current period, what it is. That's why I said I would be happy to have a separate call with you to walk you through the cash flow. This is an accounting way of treatment.
Okay. I mean, are we going to see, sir, in the future, like from Q3 onwards, so how is going to be the numbers are going to be on your table, like whether it is the trajectory revenue?
Future is uncertain, Shanawas, like, you know, I was saying, right?
I'm just trying to put it with our current orders. Like you said, 11 customers has been acquired in this quarter. So with that reference, I was just trying to get a knowledge. How is the prospect like?
Okay, let me answer that.
The broad sense. In the broad sense, I don't need the numbers.
Yeah.
I need a broad sense of that.
Yeah. Every time we have a new customer, it takes 1 quarter to 2 quarters for the revenue to start flowing in. So initially, the revenue is going to be less compared to what it's going to be in the following next few quarters, right? So that is the trend that has happened, and that's across the every company. That's the way it is. Now, coming to our business, is in the same boat as everybody else. Now, to answer your question on what the future is looking like I said, right, unless there's a force major, something happens, right, things are looking good. We want to achieve the $200 million by 2025, so there is going to be growth. In order to achieve that, right, we have to do a CAGR of close to 25 to 30%. I'm just going with the number is 29 from what I hear. So there is going to be growth. But I want to use a caveat, right, of what the recession effect, how long is the Russia-Ukraine war. If somebody has some sane sense of seeing how it's affecting the whole world on the war, is what is going to dictate some of these growth plans. While Srini has given in his earlier commentary, right, things are not as bad as what it is coming out in the news. Yes, you know, we have a few customers that, you know, have ended our projects, but there are other projects that we have in pipe that have come on board. While, you know, 80% of our revenue is repeat business. 80% of our customers are giving us, you know, revenue year on year on year. There are about 20% goes away, but adding at a greater rate than what the loss is. So there is going to be growth. It's just that, you know, today I don't want to tell you, okay, next quarter is this going to be this much revenue growth or things like that. Okay? Rochelle?
Yes, sir. The participant is now withdrawn from the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please enter star one now. So, there are no further questions. Would you like to add any closing comments?
Does Niranjan come back? So, does Niranjan come back? I promised Niranjan other. He didn't come back on the queue.
Let me repeat instructions. If you have a question or a follow-up, please enter star one. We have Niranjan Chheda. Please go ahead.
Hi, Niranjan. Sorry. I didn't want to... Yeah, go ahead. Please, next
yeah,
next question, please.
Yeah, I think we still have a lot of time. So I'll now start with the other questions.
Sure.
So I just want to ask you, you know, we clearly know this company is very, very highly undervalued. It has a book value of 52 rupees. Current stock price is trading in between 63 and 64. Likewise, we also have seen the competitors had the same book value. Let me give some examples. You know, it's already a public, so I think I can give those examples. If you take Happiest Mind having a book value of 50, trading at 1,000 rupees. If you take a latent view, book value of 50, trading at 400 rupees. And all these companies, you know, they have came after 2018. Now, basically, whenever I see those reports, whenever I went in those calls as well, and the theme is very, very similar, you know, the nature of work, what we do, digital revenues, 90% is coming from, the revenues are coming from digital revenues, less 10% from consulting, or some of the other ways around. It's very similar, the employee mix is very different. Like you said, for Kelton, the employee mix is like, most of them are sitting in high location, high cost location. Then the competitors where they are having the same mix, same geographies, US and everything. But their employment is very different. They are having low-cost location for a lot of their employees. Now, the thing is, since they are, I would say, very high-value companies, stock price point of views, so do you think, is it the right time for Kelton to appoint somebody, a kind of PR, where whatever work we are doing it, the way Karanjit mentioned, we are doing Web3, we are doing NFTs, we are doing something on the carbon side. You also mentioned that... to the start of the call that we are doing so many things. You mentioned that it became in Outlook somewhere, top 10 companies, the start of the call you mentioned. But somehow, sir, the street doesn't understand this, are not aware of it. And somehow I believe it's a time where we really want a strong PR or marketing side. Whatever work it's been done has to come on Twitter, YouTube, or whatever, you know, this area is. Have to spread like anything in this area. What are your views on this?
So I agree with you, Niranjan. You know, our stock is undervalued. We were a little bit jaded. I'll be very honest there. When I say jaded, we have tried all the things that you have pointed out earlier. That was pre-COVID time. We have had analyst conferences. I've attended many conferences. I've been in Bombay multiple times to meet analysts, fund houses, you know, all of the above that you listed out, right? So we were not successful. So we got a little bit jaded there. Now, with that said, we have not lost hope. We are reinitiating the engagement. One of the things that we first wanted to do was do a brand refresh and then go meet all the analysts. So the brand refresh has begun. Like I was saying earlier, we have hired an external agency that is looking at our brand complete all the way down to, you know, how we present ourselves to, you know, what our marketing wedge should look like, how should be our sales pitches. Everything is being relooked at. And we have revamped our marketing team. So all of that things we are doing. And we are also talking to a few of these, industry analysts like the Gartners of the world, right? So we are not going targeting Gartner, but we are looking at a second level of that to start off with to get our name in that magic quadrant, if you want to call it, right? So we are on those lines. We are making investments, and that is also, you know, is going to show up in the cost factor, right, for doing all this. We have decided we want to make the investment. Now is the time, and we're doing it. We will be ready with the new pitch by January of next year, and then we would be launching a complete PR/analyst sessions going on from January onwards. So probably 2024 financial year is when you start seeing it, but the activity is going to begin January of 2023 calendar year. Okay, so we have done this before. Somehow we were not successful. Now we are revamped. We have a new marketing team that has come on board. Everything is being relooked at afresh, and then we're going to be coming out.
Okay. Yeah, I got it, sir. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I still continue or?
Go ahead. One more question, sir, so that, you know, we don't want to monopolize, right? We'll see others a chance.
All right, fine. So I'll go with this last question for the day.
Okay.
And basically, this is to Karanjit and Srinivas. So I think they can add their perspective on this. So I'll start with Karanjit and then a similar question to Srinivas as well. So, Karanjit, you know, in a couple of quarters back, you mentioned about this call, okay, in this call, you mentioned about the Indian economy and you are targeting some customers in India, having a ties with governments and everything. Would you like to just tell us what's the status there and by when you think that you would be able to close it? Likewise, one question to Srinivas as well. You mentioned recently that U.S. is going with all this, you know, inflation and blah, blah stories. I just wanted to know, since these big companies have started laying off, start from Amazon to any of these big tech companies have started laying off the employees there, do you foresee anything happening for your clients or for Kelton U.S.? And what are the new upcoming projects that you are working there? Or any new technologies, any new tech companies you are working there, or anything which you think that would be helpful for us to know what's really happening there in Kelton U.S.
Thank you, Niranjan, for the question. We'll start off with Karanjit first, but let me answer the government one because Karanjit doesn't deal with the government side of it. So he only is purely focused on the commercial side of it. From the government perspective, things have been slow, Niranjan. we don't know why new contracts, you know, while, you know, there are things that we see here that people are awarding. Everywhere that we have socialized or have had some, I guess, you know, building, sales building activities there, you know, they have been deferred. It's not because of cash flow. For some reason, you know, or the other, they're getting deferred. We are unable to shake loose the contracts out. While once the contracts come out, we are first in line because we understand that spaces very well. So, but unfortunately, you know, nothing has been what we call at a contract stage at this point. Okay. Now, Karanjit, can you answer about the Indian economy, the commercial side, all the new wins and what activities happening, and then we'll have Srini answer the same.
Yeah. So, you know, I think your question was, Niranjan, very generic, but let me do the best. So, yeah, as Niranjan said, we have had a good brand, and we kept on building on it. So, we do have some good traction on the India side, and we are continuing to, even the previously acquired customers, we have been working with a lot of them and deepen our relationship. That's been one of the programs that we have run, especially focusing on key growth accounts. We've been doing a lot of that work to ensure that they grow. Apart from that, obviously, we continue to go in the market and sort of also try to get newer customers. So that's also work that's ongoing, and that's been going at the same pace as it has been in the past as of now. So, you know, generally, it is going on well as far as on the India side as of now. I don't know if it answers your question, but this is the broad reaction.
So I think the question was, you know, all the new technologies and the new customers, right? You know, the activity currently. So let me answer that, Niranjan. Also, we have seen a lot of multi-million contracts that we have won over the last 1 year in India. That we have not, that was not the case earlier years. So there are a few customers who are giving million plus in business, and, you know, half a million plus, multiple of them in India itself, which typically we used to hear from outside India. But, you know, like Karanjit said earlier, in the other regions other than India and Asia Pac of the territory, we have made significant progress in the Middle East, where we have a few multi-million customers there also. So there is a lot of activity going on and a lot of cool, fun stuff happening in the Web3 space that is probably the next cutting-edge technology where there's a lot of hype in there. While Web3, because of the crypto side of it, right, you know, there is a bad vibe going on, but, you know, the underlying technology of the blockchains and the Web3 is not going to go anywhere. While the cryptos might have a short-term or a long-term downturn, we don't anticipate the underlying technology will have any effect. And, you know, we are seeing many customers asking us to do work in the Web3 space. We are probably one of the handful of global companies that have successfully deployed solution in Web3 space, whereas others have not. Srini, can you talk about the U.S. layoff? I know you did touch upon it, but a little bit more color, please. Srini, if you're speaking, you're muted, Srini.
So let me reconnect, Mr. Potsaluri.
So while you're reconnecting, let me answer that. So Niranjan, the other thing that you asked about is, you know, what's happening in the U.S., the layoffs. So while, yes, Srini has pointed out a little over 100,000, 120,000 employees got laid off in the tech industry space, that is primarily due to over-hiring and not because of any reduction requirement. Yes, there is some dip in revenue when it comes to that, but people are looking at the growth rate that what was during COVID time is not there anymore for these tech companies. These, I'm talking about the Amazons, the Metas of the world. So that is the reason why enough people are there, the companies are starting to reduce the employee base. Answering your question about the customers, you know, we have talked to our customers for the 2023 budgets, because our 2023, this is calendar year, we do calendar year budgets. For the calendar year budgets, you know, that we have recently started the exercise, what we have been informed is that, you know, there is no reduction in budget. And also, as in the industry trend, right, whenever there is a recession or cutbacks, there is going to be greater outsourcing. So India is going to win. So we will probably, you know, may have to move some of that contracts, or, you know, customers will be willing or readily willing to move back over to India where they were hesitating earlier. So that would be my answer. Srini, if you're back, do you want to add any color to that?
Sure. I heard the last part of what you said, Niranjan, and then, you know, to answer Niranjan's question. So we have these new people, right, that have been laid off, the high-tech people, and most of them are engineers. And if you notice from a perspective of the last year or so, fulfillment was a huge problem, right? So these people will be which have struggled to or found it challenging to fulfill internally. So yeah, these people are laid off not because of any.
Your voice is coming in and out.
Yeah, I'm having some signal issues, Krishna. Sorry, Niranjan. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So these companies have oversubscribed. They have actually hired a lot of people expecting a larger growth, and seeing that there was a lull in the supply side, they started hiring a lot of people. All they're doing at this time is correction, right? So these people will be available in the open market, and it will be good for us to actually get some of these people from a perspective of implementing our project. I think it's a big win either way.
Thank you. Rochelle, any other questions?
We have a question from the line of Rajesh Mundra. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, Rajesh.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Rajesh.
What is progress of company in the area of metaverse?
Okay, so Kanjit, I'll let you take that, but you know, the high-level thing is metaverse today, while we are making baby steps, we are doing a lot of R&D in metaverse. We do not, have too much activity going on there other than the R&D work. But when it comes to augmented reality, right, we are doing a lot of work in that. Karanjit, do you want to add anything on that?
So, you kind of got the crux of it there. So metaverse, there is a lot of hype around metaverse. In fact, it was pretty high about last two quarters back. We have done a lot of POCs, engaged with a lot of customers, especially in the, you know, in the retail space, right, or QSR space. But most of them have been sort of in the POCs and those kind of things. But if you see, even in the customer wins, I did talk about, you know, some use cases that will emerge. So in fact, I talked about live streaming for somebody to book and pay later. It's not exactly metaverse, but some of these things, as well as the whole 5G, where, you know, speeds will go up, and it will all converge. So that is where we are at. A lot of excitement, use cases are coming up, but they are more of what can we do with it, and then some POCs. And I think then it will build out to reality in a couple of years.
Thank you, Kanji. Thank you, Rajesh.
Sir, another question.
Yes, sir.
There was a, on Twitter handle of Kelton, there was a, you are specifying that there is innovation. What is that?
What was the question? What did you see on Twitter?
You specified that innovation, only word innovation. What was that?
Innovation. Okay, that's, I guess, you know, that's a little bit vague there, Rajesh, when it comes to that. So, but innovation, you know, from our side, right, you know, we are talking about any R&D activity, anything new that we can accomplish with existing technologies or anything new that we can do with, you know, new technologies like the Web 3.0 and or the Metaverse question that you asked, right? So that is what we have been doing. Innovation is in our DNA. Anything that, you know, that we do, we would not the state, not the normal way of doing things. How can we think outside the box and do it different that nobody else has talked about, or somebody has an idea, how do we now innovate that idea to make it much more palatable to his or you know, our customers, right? That is what we mean by innovation.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star one to ask a question. We have a line question from the line of Ranjit Chandrasekharan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Niranjan. Thanks for the call. And sorry, like this is my first question in all the conference call of other companies as well. And it might go a bit childish, but what I could see from the balance sheet is on the other expenses. If you could see from the previous years, the September quarter and the last quarter, the other expenses is increased at the rate of 10%. But whereas if we compare it with the 30th September quarter and the 30th June quarter, the other expenses is increasing at the rate of 20%. So I don't want to get into detail what the other expenses is. I just want to know, like, is there any way where we can control them or get it reduced?
Oh, yeah. So you're right. Other expenses, you know, in our case is nothing but the subcontractor or contractor expenses. So, yes, there was an increase compared to the previous quarters because we were unable to service our customers, existing customers, and the new customers that we are getting with the existing employee base that we have, right? We have almost zero bench. Sometimes Kanjit says, you know, negative bench. Right, so we still have an obligation to our service our customers. So we have not outsourced. We have taken people from outside to service the existing customers. That is where you the expense, you know, is grouped into the other expenses bucket. In addition to other professional fees that we might have, professional fees, or we're talking about the lawyer fees, the other consultants that are helping out with. And also the travel, right? Travel is another area that, you know, travel has now opened up, you know, as you are aware, Rajesh, or Ranjit, sorry, where, you know, travel has gone up, you know, the cost of travel, right, you know, has almost doubled than what it was, let's say, 2 years back. So all these things, you know, are grouped into the other expenses. So the increase is due to subcontractors and travel-related expenses. Thank you, Ranjit.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star one to ask a question.
Rochelle, one more question and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, so anyone who has a question may enter star one at this time. So there are no further questions right now.
Okay. Then thank you, everybody, for joining the Q3 earnings call. Looking forward to talking to you either one-on-one. If you have any questions, please reach out to the numbers that we have online. Either Rahul Jain, I think, is where primarily you reach out via question on an email and or, you know, ask for a one-on-one call. We would be happy to talk to you. Otherwise, you know, we'll talk to you during our next earnings call, which is going to be sometime in February. Okay. Thank you very much for everybody. Looking forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Mr. Chintam and members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.